listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
All right, everybody, it is August 4, 2015. We're in the live stream, the audio chat.fakeologist.com. All of us got here because we went to schedule.fakeologist.com and we used a website or two or three to try and find a time when we, I think everyone else is late to the meeting. We said between 5 and 7 p.m. It's already 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I'm here with Unreal. Of course, Value's here, but he's not yet. And I am sitting on the shores of Lake Ontario in the Great Lakes region of the New North America. And Forest Value is down in Florida somewhere, and I believe Unreal is somewhere in Paris. Hey, Paris. And now I'm going to fix up their mics, can actually talk. And here we go. Voice for you. And I'm going to give a voice for Forest Value. Unreal, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I can hear you, Ab. Can you hear me? No?
I can hear you, Forest Value. Hello?
How about now?
I'm still hearing
we
you.
We used a website, I believe, called Forest Value's light is on, but he's not coming through.
Can you hear me at all?
Now I can.
Okay.
Hello, Forest Value.
Yeah. Is there, maybe there's a delay.
That's all right. What website did you use to get here? Because we have three on the go now, and I'm mixed up now. What are we enjoying? What do we think is better or best?
Well, I kind of have a preference for that last one that I sent you because it's a month at a glance, and when you click the link, it opens the entire calendar, and then you just click on the day and edit it, and then anybody that opens it can do that. So it seems simple to me, but I got here by the one that you had posted.
Which one is it again? What is the last one?
Let's see, I can drop it, and it's called Team Up, and I can drop the link in the chat. You maybe should test it because I've only done it for my IP address, so I'm going to put that in the chat and see if that, if you guys click on that, you should get a calendar that you can just set to the month and you'll see, and you just click the day and edit. Can you guys still hear me?
I can hear you from where I'm at.
Okay. Did you see the link I dropped in the chat?
Yeah, I was looking at it and I think it's it's maybe a little bit less intuitive than the simple team up. I think that that's team up, and I think the other one was called meet up or something. But we probably all went to this chat tonight.
Yeah. So I was just curious if you were, when I open that link, I get a calendar that I can select month, and I think if you just double click any day, You can add an event, and anybody can do that, I think. To me, that seems simple, but maybe it's not.
Well, I added needtomeet.com. I thought that was pretty good, because anytime somebody says they're available, I got an email. So I heard got an email saying you were available and showing everyone else. So I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess if you want to go that route. I just thought it might be handy to have something where people could click and then they could see what's available and decide, you know, as opposed to having to keep track of an email box. But I guess, like, I
like email. Email is how I live, and email always goes to the top of my priority list of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a great idea to as you proposed, Forest Value. So I think just that habit of looking at a schedule to see somebody is planning to get on TeamSpeak, it's a very good thing.
Well, it kind of worked today, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, I've said before, people come into the audio chat and they come for 30 seconds, don't see anyone and leave. You wouldn't believe how many people come and go. It's much better to use this schedule. I put a dedicated URL called schedule.fakeologist.com. So even if you want to use something else, just put the link in that spreadsheet. And or you can just put a note in the spreadsheet. It doesn't really matter to me. As far as value, your light is on, but nothing is coming through.
Oh, I'm not talking. I have it on continuous, but maybe I should take that off because I couldn't tell if you guys were hearing me before. So.
Well, you just lower the threshold of it. You lower the threshold till your light's not on until you're speaking.
I can't seem to find that link on your website, Ab.
Well, there's no link. You just have to type it in, schedule.fakeologist.com. Does that work?
Oh, okay.
I didn't really promote it because it's just experimental. I put it in the chat at chat.fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just trying out technology. We're trying out technology. Hey, by the way, any of you guys use Windows 10 yet or Linux Mint? I'm right now spending a ton of time trying to play around with it too.
I didn't get good feedback on 8, so I kind of skipped 8. I don't know about 10 yet. No, I'll wait till I hear something about that. Maybe you want to volunteer your thoughts.
Well, it made my computer go dark for a few reboots. My system won't reboot properly with it. Although I think I have a problem with my system. So
I have a lot of programs and drivers and things on a particular system that I'm using now. So I don't know if it would have to be a major step forward to upgrade. I would have to be experiencing some significant problems and see some real benefit to upgrading, I think, to go through the process of reinstalling everything.
Yeah, give me a few minutes, guys.
I can't, I'm not even using Windows or Linux, so.
I can't get my light to go off, so.
In your settings, maybe to try to on different settings.
I have it set. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you actually all the time, so.
Yeah, and I have it set to push to talk, but oh, maybe.
Now it went up.
No, I didn't apply it. Yeah, it's okay. There you go. Now I have it. Have to exit the chat, so I'm still continuously doing one, so maybe I need to get another number.
The light is coming on and off now, so can you hear me? Yeah, I can see my light coming on.
Yes, I can hear you now. I just gotta have to figure out how to make the chat keep not have infinite number ones in the box while I'm using push to talk.
Okay. Push to talk, I think it's also you have push to talk, but you have also another setting where your microphone will capture when you say something and then open the microphone somehow.
Let's try that. How about now?
It's working.
I really have to get on it to open the gate, so how fun for the listeners.
Well, I think it's good that we all got on through the schedule. I actually didn't schedule to get on tonight, but it's been quite a long while since there have been many people on the audio chat, I think. I haven't heard too many recordings from conversations lately.
Yeah, so I don't know what's really of interest nowadays.
What do you enjoy listening to these days? Is there any subject that you found interesting, or?
Well, I don't really want to go there now about the thing that's sort of really making me the most curious, but we'll just say it has something to do with questions I have about what dead astronomers thought about things.
Yeah, so you're a bit into space. I just I try to listen to the latest fireside chats with Crow777 and some other guy. And for me, it's really obvious that this is just a lot of waste of time again. I don't know if you listened to that program, but was on trying to explain the theories of this Russian illustrious scientist that he's making a lot of references to. Did you?
I don't know. I've been sort of avoiding personalities. There just seems to be so much conflict. I'm really just kind of going back to the fundamentals and seeing what I can observe. And from my estimation, I definitely feel like there's some problems, some unresolved issues from what I've been told. So I'll just leave it at that. You know, there's some issues that I think I can have an easy enough way of verifying for myself that will give me the answer that will be like, well, this is not adding up to what I've been told. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah,
there's too many personalities in this swimming in this water right now, and I don't know. Definitely there is some suspicion there for sure.
I don't see so much conflict in the sense that. More like we are being invaded with new figures all the time and new subjects all the time. So we don't, maybe it's a kind of a tactics to spread our attention a little bit too. Of course, talking about the space and the NASA and the flat Earth and you know, with the Crow 777 with the moon. Yeah, it's a lot of new figures on the scenes that I haven't that I'm discovering now. But the fact is that, as you said, we are not what we have been told is surely not exactly right. Anyhow, so it's like the questions are there.
At this point in my life, at least from what I know, I don't see any problem with just going back and reviewing everything that I've ever been told just to see how it stands up to scrutiny, because for so long, the way that I learned that I was just told things and told to accept them, and that's the way things were. And I guess if you're, you know, I remember, and you probably had this experience too, when you're a kid and we talk about digging to China, and what about the people in Australia? They're upside down. They're standing, you know, and it was like funny when you're a kid, right? And then people just say, well, that's the way it is. And you don't pursue it any further. But then at this point, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of things that you can kind of look at and just to say, well, let me just have a look at this. And this is one of the first things that I was ever taught, probably that I can remember. I had a globe in my room.
But do you think you were taught, or do you think that you were actually being brainwashed on the program? That's kind of what it looks like now. It's like everything we have been thought to have been, you know, educated to know, it's like it seems like it's some kind of a program to make us into automatons.
I can believe that. I think that's probably fairly accurate. I'd be very surprised to find, if I could interview one of my early teachers, to find that they felt that way. You know what I mean? It's so transparent. It's like the program, it's like an app on a computer. It's just written and installed, and then it just runs, and the people that are running it probably don't even realize that they're running it, you know?
Yeah, in that regard, I found the latest phone call from Chris Kendall very interesting, in the sense that he got to speak with one of the scientists that was directly implied in the measuring of the photons reflected from the moon. I don't know if you got to listen to that interview, but when you listen to it, you really get the impression that you are there in front of one of the gatekeepers, and that he knows what he is trying to have you to believe. Whereas, as
that's
you say,
very interesting.
Yeah. Whereas, as you say, our teachers, they probably didn't know any better themselves, so they probably did everything with good faith.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that. Is that I'm just going to check that. Oh, they're bouncing a laser off the moon?
Yeah. Ah. It's a very, very good call. I mean, I think Chris Kendall has been doing some really good shows lately with John Adams and all their the people they are able to get on.
Yeah, they've been doing really, really good work. I think Chris has a remarkable way of disarming people when he calls. It's a lot of times he gets a long ways into questions before people start feeling any sort of confrontation. You know, he's got a relaxed way of talking to people, which is
What he manages to do is to have the person he talks to believe that he's not so quick or smart, so they feel comfortable to talk with him. They think they are going to teach him something.
Right, and, right.
They often come out with a short stick because it's hard to find somebody that's so well thought and logical as Chris Kennell is. So he's got a good way of hiding his capacity when he contacts these people.
Yeah, it really works. I've listened to several of those calls, and he gets pretty deep into them, answering like a lot of questions before they start realizing that they're getting backed into a corner.
It's very, it's quite impressive to hear some of these calls. I agree. He's had a good way about making people talk.
I'm looking forward to listening to this latest one. He was kind of on vacation for a while, so I haven't been checking in.
Yeah, and they had some good shows since he's back. Also, one that I really enjoyed was the one with Jose Barrera, which is specialist on magic, but not the stage magic, but the true magic, how to have people act according to what you thought for them.
Right, right. He was talking about logos and symbols and,
yes,
and the language, how people respond to language.
Yes, because most people, they have no understanding of what magic really is, and I think it's very valuable for us to understand how come they are manipulating a subject that looks inoffensive for us. Why should they? But it's a reason behind that. It's to have us move in certain directions and to have us get a certain mindset, so we are prepared to accept the reality they want to have us live.
Well, it's very interesting, and if you think about the, I guess the money system is such a great example of that, because we have people that, I mean, the way I understand it, from the way it works, are providing basically little, if any, value, usable, tangible goods and services to the system, that are making a percentage from every single transaction. Maybe certainly in the States or any country that has a central bank, if you buy a stick of gum or a car or a house or anything, there's a group of people that are making a percentage off of that transaction. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think in the interview with Jose Barrera, with Chris Kendall and John Adams, I think Jose Barrera explains it in a very nice way, in the sense that kind of a monopoly has been put on the our capacity to exchange goods and services, and we believe there has to be this monopoly, but it's just a monopoly created by a talisman, which is the teller, the dollar. And it's actually just a magic seal that they've been able to propagate to have everybody believe in such a way that we no longer even can understand that money is just paper with some symbols on it, which is the case. And there are people that have the monopoly on this exchange system, and they've had that monopoly for a very long time. And the percentages and the banks and all that is just the front window for what's really happening, which is the fact that somebody has put this system into the works and they are driving it. How it's not a question of percentages, is they own it.
Well, I guess I said percentages in terms of like if there's a third party to every single transaction that's made anywhere that uses currency, and there's a portion of the trade that is diverted to the third party. And basically, I would say they're supplying ink and paper, but in today's age, they're not even doing that. It's just kept track of on a computer and bits and it's
the real
nothing.
Trick the real trick is that we are using their system and everybody's using it. And there's not going to be another way to exchange goods and services because this is where their power comes from. So we can have many specialists that say, oh, they earn this much and that much and everything, but they will always come out on top in the sense that they drive the system. They're in the driver's seat. It doesn't matter how much or little they get or they don't get. I mean, they're driving the car.
But what they're actually doing, the real magic of it, is they're converting essentially, especially today, nothing into fabulous wealth. I'm sure they have houses, cars, whatever, gold. They probably have some real tangible type of savings, anything, money beyond avarice that live a lifestyle for actually trading nothing to everyone else.
It's just like that image of the car. I mean, they can go wherever they want to because they are driving the car. Sure. They can buy whatever they want to because they have the system. If we started to do traditional trade and it just a change between each one of us, that wouldn't be in the car anymore. We would have another car, and that's not going to happen.
I don't know about where you are, but here there's codes in the Internal Revenue Service manual that have ways of analyzing barter, where they think they're entitled to a percentage of barter, even if there's no currency exchanged. So they, I guess they have sort of a comparative survey or something. Yeah. They can decide what your barter is worth and they can levy that. And so they have this sort of idea. And I guess that's the trick, is it for people to believe that that's legitimate, for them to say, well, you're going to trade a horse for a wagon or whatever. And then there's this other party that they're entitled to a piece of that somehow.
Yeah, I think that's the taxation part, which is not forcibly linked to the money part, actually. I think that the taxation part is more linked to the fact that for those who are in charge, they are aware of the fact that they cannot any time have the population live in plenty. So they always need to have the population in this kind of a crisis, you see? So I think they use their authority to have us live in that kind of situation in permanently, in crisis, where, you know.
Right, and that gets into the fakery and probably a lot of the history. I heard someone quote that chapter from, or a couple of paragraphs maybe from 1984 about the, I can't remember what the department was called, the media, where they're, the staff of people faking the pictures and creating stories, and from this perspective, it was very, very interesting. I guess all of us probably imagine some type of office full of cubicles where people sit around and respond to forums and disrupt and disseminate disinfo.
Yeah, it's interesting to observe from having listened to alternative media and news for some years now. It's really a bit scary to know how many of the people I've been listening to and gone through that I actually kind of really now know probably are assets somehow for the intelligence community. So where they all gather between themselves, I don't know. As you said, they might have a big building somewhere where they get together and of their annual meetings. I don't know.
I was thinking more in terms of maybe people that respond to forums. If we see people come and go on like Clues forum and stuff, that they seem to be obvious. They're there for the purpose of disruption, as opposed to actually have an honest debate, if you want to consider that, or offer input. But
well, yeah,
in terms of the assets, I puzzle over that sometimes, and I wonder if some of the alternative people that I've listened to, or they may just have enough of a sense to know how far they can push the envelope, and they stop before they lose their audience. I don't know if I'm, you know, say that much about their motivation. I know that I can lose an audience in about 2 seconds. So if I was depending on my radio show or whatever to feed my family, I might be careful about how far I pushed the alternatives narrative. And I might not need to be
cautious
in
what
paid
way,
by
what do you mean?
Powers that be. Well, like if like No Agenda, or do you listen to the No Agenda show?
No, I don't. I feel that that's a really American centered propaganda. So it's I can't listen to them. I just
it's,
screamed in my head.
Yeah, it is very U.S. centric, and I enjoy it. I find there to be some humor there, and it is interesting to hear what's happening. Like that's because that's the only way I get any news. It comes to me.
News ain't news.
Huh?
News isn't news. It's propaganda. So you'd like to hear a little bit of what propaganda is being pushed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's more. It allows me to be tuned in to what the media pipelines are viewing out to the public at a particular time. So I'm kind of looped into what other people are hearing, but I don't really take any of it for real. But they do. They have had some instances where they've called out some of the more obvious stories about being fake. And
of course, they need to be a little bit, they have to have something and crack people up. But in the end, it's they are really, they sound like, well, if they look like and sound like and be everything like a duck, they probably are paid the assets.
Well, I'd be very curious to find how many people in the fakeologist community in AB and on Clues Forum are actual, have this sort of disposition to question the legitimacy of Chris calls it the religion of the state. And he's one of there's only a handful of people that really do that, I think. Even in this community, I think it's still not...
Completely agree.
Not quite. People, even though they can see all of the video fakery and the images and the fake stories, it's just, once you get down to questioning why any of these who are... anybody in officialdom, any agent, any tax person or anyone has... Where do they get the authority to do the things they do? Where does it come from?
Well, and I think it's a kind of a magical act somehow. It's like they have a system in place, and we are, you know, taught how to fit into that system. And until we understand that the system is fictitious in itself, impossible to anything into doubt or to question anything. We are so well educated that we can't do that. So it takes a long while before I was able to do it myself, and I think that it's the case for many people. That's probably also why there's so few young people. They need the time to get out of the indoctrination somehow.
You're right, and I found what happens a lot of time when I approach the subject with anyone, they'll skip ahead to, how are things going to work if that's not there? You can't, people are too crazy. They're out of control. You have to have some ultimate authority that's keeping things together.
Yeah, you see, that's a very good point, because that's why they want us to believe that everything's so out of control, why they are creating mayhem with all these fake stories, is to keep people in place.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, I know people that work in bars and that have relationships with the police that come out to arrest people in the bars, and they, I mean, they have a firsthand, it's a very visceral, emotional response that you get to see people at their worst, and they you don't have a way of imagining how, you know, how would you contain the sort of craziness or destruction or whatever without somebody being able to come in and have the last word. And so I think it's not just the fake stories, but there you get people that are sort of on the front line, so to speak, and they definitely they can't make that leap to imagining that all of these things could be done just through normal trade type transactions. You could have security forces and things could be private, and you could have actual accountability and things on paper where things were agreed upon, as opposed to just sort of everybody assumes that we're living in this social contract, which is sort of a contradiction in terms to begin with, right? So we're living in this humongous contradiction.
Yeah, I think we have a hard time to imagine something else than what we actually are part of. So they have kind of won once we have get habituated with the system we're in. We cannot really something else, but if we should be very free-minded, it's for sure we wouldn't have to live in this kind of society where food is scarce, where housing is limited and everything. It's like it could be quite different. I mean, the earth is so plentiful, so it's incredible. It's like and I hear stories about the fish being, you know, so low in stock. I always feel like that's how bad it gets, because the ocean is in, well, the average depth of the ocean, if you take it an average, is 3,000 meters. And if you multiply that with 70% of the Earth's surface, you get something so big you can't even fathom it. And there's fish in there. So we will never run out of fish. But they still are going to say that to us. And most people cannot fathom that it's plenty of fish and there will never be a day where we can't find any fish.
Well, yeah, that is another thing that I find a little bit, it amuses me. Because I a lot of the people that I grew up with that are friends of mine have sort of leaned toward, I guess, the left. You might say whether they're this social justice and this sort of thing, and they're climate change and civil rights and this and that, but they have a very sort of poor opinion of people that are religious. But at the same time, I look at them as being equally religious. They just have a different set of symbols. And in the U.S. we have Ten Commandments, or the Bill of Rights, which is 10 rights they have that are on these pieces of paper that were handed down from the forefathers, whoever, they were like the prophets instead of the commandments. And we have people in black robes standing up on this raised pedestal. We call them judges instead of priests. And we have a building that looks exactly like the Vatican, but we call it the Capitol. So to me, it's all like we have a flag instead of a cross or whatever the symbol, take your pick, you know? And I just find that a little ironic. And I said that to say that the shortages in the ocean being fished out and climate change, and it's sort of like the original sin, right? That it's the human's fall from grace. We're inherently bad, and we're doing bad things to the planet, and we need to be disciplined. We need to have some authority figure come in and make sure that we're doing the right thing, by golly.
I really agree with that, in the sense that as long as you talk about a belief system, nothing is known. Everything is believed, so you can't get anywhere with that. So as you say, most people, they go around with a lot of beliefs and not a lot of knowing. And once you stop and say, hey, I wonder if this is really so, then you start to discover how far off we really are. And in that sense, it's very interesting the fact that we even have to question the shape of the planet we are on. Because if you think about it, if they know the shape of the planet, they wouldn't tell us. So what is for sure in the debate on the flat Earth, the round Earth, it's not round. That's for sure, because they say it's round. So it's not round.
So you can dismiss it because that's what they say.
Exactly.
That's probably the simple way to go about it.
And I mean, everything, you know, they there's not even one photo of the Earth that's real, that's taken from outside or, you know, or surface. I mean, it's clear it's not round. So is it a pear? Maybe, but I can't see water bend any day soon.
Well, see, that the problem with that is that if you start asking those fundamental questions, and it is, maybe that is the, you know, it's a progression, and maybe that's the reason. There could be a whole host of reasons. Like, when I do feel like these waters are very infested with some questionable characters. But if you start questioning such a fundamental idea that you have about where we are, then that opens up a whole new realm of questions, right? About what you have to reformulate everything that you imagine about the place you thought you were and what, you know,
but don't you think the fact that we do gather at a site like Fecologist means that we are in that process, and that we kind of starting to see that there's nothing that's really knowable in the sense that everything is indoctrination that's coming from the leaders that, as you say, they are mostly kind of religious. If they go by the name of Obama or Clinton or whatever, it's like they are mostly gathering believers, you know?
Right, right. Imagine what it must be like to be at the table, the people of whoever they are, if they have the Library of Alexandria on file or the secret library under the Vatican that actually know everything. If they do, maybe nobody knows, but whoever is diverting everyone away from the way things are must have a better understanding of the way things are than the story they're giving everyone. So
yeah,
I wonder what that would be like to be in the know.
Yeah, I think the pyramid that we see on the bills everywhere, I think it's something real in that. It means like that's gathering all this information, and that actually sits on a lot of knowledge that would be very interesting to take part of. But I think that most of the people down the ladder, they have no clue. Even, you know, the specialists that are gathering, you know, knowledge in the different fields, they are probably quite unknowing of whether the Earth is pear-shaped or convex or concave. You know, they have no clue.
But what I was asking you at the top, I guess where the eye would be, at the which is separated from the pyramid, there are people that actually do know, that have a real true knowledge of how things really work, probably.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a fractal too. It's like the pyramid never stops. So it's somebody at the peak somewhere.
And they actually know.
Yeah. And I guess I talked with Jan Erik one night about this here on the TeamSpeak. It's like it seems like when you're at the top, you'd like to stay there as long as possible. So I guess that the lifespan question is quite interesting, in the sense that if you're really at the top and you have the possibility to get everybody that knows things to do whatever is possible, I guess you probably would firstly try to optimize your own existence. So you would probably be living a little bit longer than your neighbor.
Right. That's a question I've had people respond to. They'll say, well, why do people do this? What do they care about? What happens 100 years from now? They're not going to be around. So why would they bother to do all this faking? And, you know, why aren't they just trying to make things as good as they can be? because they're not going to live to see even the Fabian Society or the Rhodes Roundtable or whatever, families, if it's the Bushes or the Rothschilds. I mean, now people think, well, they're going to have kids that are going to go off the reservation at some point. So how can they keep these things going generation after generation? And I have had that question myself, actually. But it's probably not too tough of a sell to the kids when they realize the gap that there is between that type of life and the life where you actually have to do stuff.
Yeah, no, they're not so foolish as to impose these things on them straight away. It's like they will observe them and see how they come along, and maybe when they're like 50, 60, they will start to really be in the know and manipulate things. But until then, they're just soldiers as everybody else, only that they are taken care of. They are not eating what you shouldn't eat. They are not consuming the things that you shouldn't consume. You know, they are in good hands.
You know, it's interesting because I'm working in an event facility that has a bunch of medical like promotional machines for new products and stuff. And it's very, very interesting to walk around and see the sophistication of all this technology and machinery that they're using to sort of, I guess, analyze and possibly correct or perfect the human body. And I look at that and I just think that's so far removed from probably what the actual way to optimize your health would be. It doesn't have anything to do with machines. It's being more adapted to the environment you live in and probably being as close to whatever you want to call natural or whatever the body is adapted to on the earth, things that come out of the ground, whether it's fresh water and fresh vegetables. And I just find it really, really interesting that the further we move toward the technical, logical optimization and solutions for everything, they're actually moving further away from, you know, what we need.
But think about this. It's like, when you look at the illnesses like they have more or less created, like AIDS or cancer or whatever, like that is the antithesis of something healthy.
So right.
Before you have an antithesis, get a thesis. So the only reason they are able to make agendas like the medical agendas, the vaccinations, the chemtrailing, everything, it's because they already know something that we don't. So this is the antithesis they are using for us. They are making us have it the wrong way. But they also, by that fact, know the right way.
Well, I've done pretty good in my life by avoiding them entirely as much as I can. I mean, I've had cuts that I've had stitched up, and I've had bones that I've had set in the casts in the past. But other than that, I don't see them at all. And I'm going to be going into it will be seventh decade before too very long, and still doing pretty good. So it's working for me. But I know a lot of people that see physicians on a regular basis. And I know a lot of people that have gone to see doctors healthy and have declined very rapidly thereafter after some diagnosis that they probably would not have known about had they not gone to see the doctor for whatever reason.
Yeah, of course, doctors are part of the establishment and an important part for the system to ensure the fact that we are not that healthy. So it's just the contrary of what we believe. It's so hard for us to understand that. So it's like when you're in front of a doctor, you put away logic and you just listen to him because that's what you're supposed to, what you have learned. And he has the whole gimmick. He has his white coat, the stethoscope, probably some equipment that makes you believe that he has an authority to tell you take some kind of a drug or listen to something that's not logical. He'll do it. And most people do.
He has a staff of people that are unquestioning about everything he says. He's the authority.
Exactly. So he here that has, if you go back and look at all the contradictions in medicine, it's like come on, we should never believe one word they say.
But we do. What?
Most people do.
Most people do what? I didn't catch what you said about
that when you look at the history of medicine and all the contradictions they have been through, all the contrary methods that they changed one day to another, it's like they have no credibility if you look into it. But we are not reminded enough to judge them for what they really are. And what they are imposters, and they push fake science, and they actually hurt our health unknowingly for many of them. But that doesn't excuse them.
Well, I think they're probably, in some ways, they're similar to the news, and maybe they're similar to the state in some ways, because they can't. And I guess it's like any abusive relationship too. I guess if they say that abusers, they have to.
Yep.
They have to bring
You're
someone
right.
flowers once in a while, right?
Mm.
They can't continually just be violent with some, because then if the people realize that's all there is, they'll get out. They'll leave. So
yeah.
if the news has to offer us something that can be verified on occasion. The state has to hand out something beneficial to some people on occasion. And I'm sure in the medical, I think there's a lot of things that if I had certain things happen to me, physical trauma, I'd probably want to be in a hospital really quick to have a blood vessel sewn up or a bone set or something. There's things that they have a handle on that they do really well, but that's probably the smaller part of it. But it gives them credibility nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, it's a sophisticated system. I mean, it's worldwide, so it's something that works very well. It doesn't work well for the patients, but it works well for the people that are controlling the evolution of mankind somehow.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to be a fly on that wall, I think.
But in medicine,
maybe they have charts and graphs.
I think in medicine, most of the doctors, they are clueless. I mean, they are each investigating some very small field, and they find things and they this and that. And in the end, they all believe in atomic theory. So it can't be right.
Have you done any investigation into the atomic theory and that sort of thing? Are you familiar with SMJ and his?
I think it's for them, it's a huge field of opportunity once you get beyond what a regular person can really prove for himself. And once you get down to the subatomic level and the things we cannot even see, they are owning that field. The same with the big things like space. Things that's so far away we can't see it with our own eyes, they own it. They tell us the stories that we are supposed to believe, but it's all fake. Everything that's really small, everything that's really big, is all fake.
I was investigating, I guess, the history of the electron, or if you're familiar with the Rutherford, the gold foil experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess at the time, I haven't figured out how they fire alpha particles from some type of alpha particle gun, I guess, through a piece of gold foil, and some of them bounce back, and then they have screens that evidently they can see. And then the people that were, I guess they were the staffers or assistants that were going to look, they had to stay in a dark room for a while, so their eyes would be attuned, and they wouldn't have, it would have adjusted to the darkness, and pupils wouldn't be dilated from the light, what have you, and they could see the electrons bouncing around on the screen. I just find that a little fantastic to me, that they're like, they can see the electrons bouncing around on this cathode ray tube, and they had to adjust their eyes to the dark. And I think that that's still the model. And so,
but once you have to see it on a screen, I mean, who knows how they make the output on the screen? It can be any source. It doesn't need to be the gun they have in their hand. It can be something else.
Right. And from what I understand, I think the atoms are pretty small.
They're so small we can't see them. Nobody has seen an atom, and nobody can photograph them, and or microscopes can't see them. And it's all a very weak theory, but that is very easy to assimilate when you think about the universe and how everything should be fractal. And, you know, the planets, they are spinning around and the atom is spinning around and it all fits together. It's narrated by the same people.
Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, Unreal, I have to leave. I have an appointment that I have to make, and I had hoped to get out a little earlier, but I'm enjoying the chat.
Me too.
To be able to talk to someone.
And it was a really good idea to think about putting up this schedule. So great thinking.
So, and I guess you're
good thinking, Park.
Oh, thanks. You're in a different time zone, correct?
Yeah.
You're five hours ahead of Eastern time, so. Maybe if earlier may work better for you, or I don't know if you're...
Yeah, a little bit earlier is good, but still late at night is quite okay too.
Okay.
So, but I'm following everything that's being posted, and I'll look into the schedule. So I for sure really appreciate the possibility to speak to like-minded people. It's like just not many people I can talk to.
It is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I think it's great. Great idea. Great idea. Maybe it's trying to bring the whole audio chat full circle, because it was kind of languishing for a while because people were not finding each other.
Yeah, maybe the fact that it was new and that we needed time to integrate how to manage that new tool for ourselves also?
Well, it's also summer here in the northern hemisphere. I don't personally like to be inside.
Why do you say
jump
hemisphere?
In the lake and whatnot. Well, what they tell us is the northern hemisphere.
Or it can't be a hemisphere. It can't be.
I know. You're right. It can't be a hemisphere. So if we are at the... Where are we? We're closest to the North Pole area. Would that be better?
It's put piece of the pie.
We're closer to magnetic north. Do you agree that there's a magnetic field?
Yeah, I agree that it's a magnetic fields and everything. Yeah, I agree. I just don't know.
Do you think the tides are magnetic too? Because they have nothing to do with the moon, there's just a magnetism going on?
Well, that's a great question. I can't say I have a theory on the water, but I guess that everything moves a little bit. So also a plane would move a little bit. So yeah, I guess everything moves.
I heard.
Well,
recently,
even if you don't, yeah, go far, go.
Well, that it's an experiment you can do. If you rub a balloon on your head till you get it static electricity built up, and you hold it next to a stream of water, that the water will bend.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, so, yeah. I've seen that. I believe that. I've done that myself. That's real. That's real. But if nothing else, all this flat Earth discussion, the ball Earth skepticism, it's got people talking, which I think is great. I think you can talk about that and media fakery at the same time, because the two things they have in common is we're very skeptical of what we're told. So for me, they don't necessarily lead to one another, but it's very important conversation that never has been had before. That is why I'm grateful for the discussion. I am happy to hear from all fakeologists. I don't care if none of them believe in the ball Earth skepticism. I don't care if they all believe in a spherical planet. But I'm grateful that there's a discussion going on and talking about it, because before, no one would ever have questioned it at all. Just like no one would ever have questioned the television, tele-live-vision. I had no idea that that's probably why they... Well, even if it wasn't invented to lie, it was quickly found to be a great tool to lie on, like every other media. Over.
Yeah, I think television was closely studied, and they knew what they were attempting to do with it. So I think we are now living in the age... after television, where actually everything is done by the propagation of the information in such quantities that we cannot process it. So it's like they have also tested that for a long time, and they know that 99% of the people, they can't process the information anymore. So they have such short time spans of attention, so they cannot come to any conclusion on anything.
Yeah, but are you also, before you go, Parse Value, are you somewhat grateful that we can at least have the discussion and not be considered a lunatic, to use a word that's rooted in the moon?
There's no moon.
I'm fascinated by it. I'm totally fascinated and very interested. I'm a little bit, I can understand the concern on the part of people that think it could be a discredit by association campaign. I get that. So I guess I understand the reluctance.
But all
maybe.
Those people that think that we can be discredited, I mean, we are already regarded as lunatics already.
It's nothing to defend here.
We are not defendable in the eyes of a normal person anyhow.
But look at it this way.
And we didn't atomic bombs.
Yeah, but
I mean, just
We can bring up some media fakery at the same time and say, hey, if you don't want to buy this story, what about this story? You believe this nonsense? Do you believe, okay, you might not, I mean, we have to just stick to some really basic ones that are really hard to refute. Okay, why is there only one official picture of the Earth? And now, of course, there's a second official picture that just came out. Let's start with that question. What is wrong with asking that question? Is there a good answer for it? And the answer, of course, is absolutely not. So there you go. That's an easy question.
Normal people, they are taught that they should have an answer. So when you ask a question and they haven't got an answer, well, they fall back on the answer that's been given to them.
And I have another one, Ab. You see the link I just dropped into the chat?
Yeah, no, not yet. Can you describe it? So people who are listening and just type it in?
It's a site called cohp.org. It's County High Pointing. So it's a topography, what do you call, cartology or something that people, they're trying to determine the highest points in their counties. And I don't know if this maybe has something to do with climbing, but it's a fairly serious, it's not any kind of fakery. It's straight up the middle of the mainstream. And they have some calculations. And this is, I was particularly looking for something that was as mainstream as possible that I could find with a scientific type of. And so you can enter a distance in miles, and it doesn't use the 8 inches times the distance squared. It's, I think, 0.67 inches or so much. It might be roughly close, I guess. But you can enter a distance in miles and then compute it, and it'll tell you the correction in elevation. So like if I enter 60, and compute, then there should be a 2,400-foot drop of 60 miles. And then if you're, say, 6 feet tall, then you subtract 3 miles from that because you can see another 3 miles. So basically, if you get somewhere where you're 60 miles away from something and you can see something that's less than 2,400 feet tall, I find that to be a bit of a problem. That's all. I don't know what else I would have to say, then, because these are the numbers that were given that they're using in this model to make the calculations. And I've mentioned this thing to a couple of people, and they start talking about all the shillery going on and everything. And I'm just, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. Let's just back up and let's go with the computations and look at the distance and see if it adds up. And then if it doesn't, then there's a problem. So I put that link in. I've been very curious about wanting to find something that I can verify in an absolute way. And where you are, it probably shouldn't be that hard. I don't know. I live close to the water.
Yeah, well, I got lots of lakes to cross. Yeah, I got lots of lakes to look across.
And you can get Google Earth points, distances, and find out.
Google Earth is also fakery, too. Just the composite images.
Well,
Google Maps, there's spy plane satellites. They're not even spy planes. I don't even think they're that high up. They're just reconnaissance vehicles taking pictures of the Earth.
Exactly.
I use satellite view all the time because I like to look at different buildings and whatnot that I go to see their layout when I'm on my rounds. And there's no way that plane is going to be that high because they're using the best lenses, zoom lenses, I would assume, but they can't be too zoomy. Because they need to take a wide path, right? Otherwise, they're going to have to take super narrow strips of flight path. They're going to be fairly wide angle lenses. Otherwise, as like you said, they're going to take, we'd have to make many, too many passes of the ground.
But Ab, what they are doing actually is like they are using several technologies, and they are using the images to map the 3D data they get from other types of scans.
Okay. All right. Well, you can still zoom in on backyards and see swimming pools.
Of course, okay, because every image is mapped on 3D information, so it's quite accurate. But the fact that
it's very accurate. I'm just saying the planes can't be that high up. They wouldn't be that high up, would they? Can't be.
But NASA has a million-mile lens, so. I mean.
Well, who knows what they have? But even
they're using the reflector on the moon.
Yeah. They're using regular zoom lens. I don't even know how zoomy they would want to be, because again, they need a pretty wide angle. Otherwise, they're going to take a million different shots. That's all I'm saying. So. These are just normal reconnaissance vehicles taking pictures of the ground.
No, I said that. I didn't know if you guys were aware that the latest NASA picture was supposedly snapped from a million miles away.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The latest Galileo?
Earth picture. Is that through
their alleged explorer called Galileo?
That's interesting, isn't it? They kind of come in full circle. Nope.
I thought it was great that it came out right when we were really questioning it. It's almost like they're actually monitoring us or our groups.
And maybe all coming out of the same office for all we know.
I think there's a lot of offices. That's all the military does. There's no one to fight. There's no enemies. Iran is not our enemy. We don't have any enemies. The people are the enemies. And if all these people are working in their cubicles, then they got to do something. They can't all be playing solitaire.
I think if you actually provide a service or produce a tangible good that can be traded and is of value to other people, you are the enemy. People that don't have anything except numbers and computers to trade. So that's where the battle is going on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, they need to figure out a way to leech off that, right?
Exactly.
Well, this was a good idea to meet here. We can keep trying different meet-up programs. I don't have a problem with that. So far, I've enjoyed. I got a link. My Google Calendar sending me an email. I don't know where that came from, though, about today's meeting. So I'm not quite sure how that happened.
So I guess you guys weren't particularly enamored with this team up thing because it doesn't send alerts. It might send alerts. I haven't got into it very much. So I guess.
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to really play with it. Because I'm trying to play around with Windows. One of my machines upgraded itself to Windows 10, and then I tried Linux, Mint. And I'm trying to find all the software to work on that, so I'm just sort of fooling around right now with computer-type stuff.
Okay. Well,
you need to do these things to change the channel a little bit sometimes.
Sure.
Can't be fakery all the time.
Well, hey, Ab, Unreal, it was really nice chatting with you guys. I'm gonna sign off.
Yeah, anytime. Well, I think the best way to do it is I just create an open meeting every day or every week. I create an open meeting, and we just keep checking off when we can show up. And you only need one meeting, open meeting thing. So even today's meeting, you'll get updates every week on it, I would think, or every day, rather. So if you put a checkbox that you're coming tomorrow on need to meet, then I'll get an email saying you're going to come by.
Cool.
Oh, that might be powerful.
Yeah, that sounds
like
great.
Like I said, from what I understand, I think most people are still using email as their number one communication device. I don't want to log into a website. I want an email. Even the chat. Did you know that in the chat, fakeologist.com, If you log out, which most people do, you can have it send an email if a new message comes in to the chat.
Right. I saw that today.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember where the checkbox is, but you can do that. That's powerful. So that way you get an email. Oh, I'll go into the chat, see what's going on. And same with my website. I'm still playing with it, but you can subscribe to the website. It'll send you an email when there's a new post. Oh, you don't have to keep going there.
I get those emails.
I know. Right now I have it coming twice a day. I'm going to probably switch it to once a day. I was just playing with it. I forgot to reset it because maybe twice a day is too much.
An option every time you post something, you'd come.
No, it automatically just sends an email regardless if there's anything new.
Hey guys, I'm getting a knock at the door, so I got to run.
Yeah, take care first.
Talk to you later.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye. There he goes, First Value of Florida. That was interesting chatting with him. Interesting person.
Most people on the website are...
Say that again?
Most everybody, I feel, that's coming to Fakeologist for a while, they have nice thoughts to...
Yeah, I like most people. Everyone is interesting.
Yeah, so it's about questioning things. So I think when you talk about, you know, I want to draw a limit to what we can question, like that or not, I think it's a limiting process. Every rabbit hole we go down is a new adventure, but can't stop looking into
it. Yeah, it is a new adventure. It's interesting. Oh, Unreal, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Let's talk about El Chapo, because I got that email from someone close to me who is just fascinated with El Chapo and Mexican drug cartels. He's convinced that they're a super sophisticated organization that's keeping the United States at wit's end with their wonderful tunnels and terrific management systems, top-down control, how they distribute things.
I just got one question for those people. How do they finance all this? Is it with money, you think?
Well, drug money, of course.
But who controls the money?
Yeah, you do need some kind of bank system, don't you?
So they're in the same boat. They're not on top of anything. That's why they're having caves. They're at the bottom.
that's one good point. Like, I still think if we didn't have a money system, someone would have to invent it. I just don't want three goats for my whatever I'm trying to sell you. You would need some system, right? You'd need some system. I'm not going to...
Exactly. But the thing is,
yeah. So the drug cartels, yeah, they would need some kind of banking system too. Otherwise, one guy, the money would just... Do you think all the money gets kicked upstairs to the top guy without any problem?
Maybe they hide it in the cave like Saddam Hussein when he came out with his suitcases with dollar bills, you know?
I don't remember that. Is that true?
Yeah, they took pictures of him when he came out of his hole to the ground with a suitcase of dollars.
No, I don't remember that. You got to find that and put it in the chat. No, you got to find that. I want to see that. That's funny. Yeah.
It is funny.
Where was he planning on spending it? Is he going to take it right to Walmart and go buy up the store or what?
Maybe to buy a better cave.
I was going to say he would have to go to Cave Mart. You know how I still love that picture. I still love that graphic. That graphic of Osama bin Laden's cave system. I thought that was beautiful. Whoever drew that up, congratulations on a terrific imagination. That was really well done.
But did you read the science papers or magazines when you were younger? I mean, they have loads of those diagrams, and I remember I loved them, you know, looking at how we were going to live on the moon, fly to Mars.
No. The only time I saw those really neat diagrams was Mad Magazine, where they had Mad Magazine, where they had some diagrams, spy versus spy. There's all kinds of diagrams of how the black spy was going to get the white spy. Traption. I love those things.
I wasn't that into Chad. It was more I was more into sports and science, and Chad is more like humorous.
Yeah, it was humor. It was humor. I have a short attention span, so I probably couldn't get into those science magazines. But yeah, I what you're saying is those diagrams are probably modeled somewhat after existing models of the past present in science magazines.
Yeah, as you say, that those diagrams that you see on the those caves of Bin Laden and stuff, they have got a lot of exercise of doing those with all stories, even like for crime scenes and bank robberies and everything, they make us live the bank robberies and the crime scenes through these diagrams, you know?
Yeah. So do you think El Chapo is a real person, or he's just mythical like most of the other high crime figures?
I can't say I have looked that much into it, but when you know that drugs are obviously a really important subject for a ruling population, I think that it's some kind of a gun that's suddenly going to drug world, because drugs, I mean, it's like in Afghanistan, it's like the military is guarding the drugs over there. And we also were able to back a lot of drugs from those kind of excursions. I think it's a matter of the military and the matter of the different states to drugs. So it's no free man that's suddenly going to be a drug dealer. I mean, connections, kind of connections with who? Connections with people, the system. Why shouldn't the system then be the most important figure? Well, it is.
Yes. So you. What about the tunneling system? Do you think that's just an elaborate hoax? I just can't see how one could possibly get away with some... It seems like too much trouble.
I think I kind of touched upon it with the farce value. It's like once we cannot observe something for ourselves, like something really small, yeah. Like the atom, they own the story. Once it's too big, we can't see it because it's too far away. They invent the story. And with tunnels and underground facilities, I mean, how easy can it be? I mean, I posted that image from Saint-Exupéry, the little prince, you know, what's, you don't know. What's under the ground? Nobody can know. Draw it, you can have us believe it and check it. So it's only going to be belief, nothing that we can, that's what they want us to, is have us go around and believe things, knowing anything.
Let me log out for a minute.
Yeah, okay, let's try that. So what can you explain? I read The Little Prince when I was about 11. Can you re-explain? Well, I hated the book. I thought it was crazy, but maybe I should reread it.
It's a little fanciful, but in essence, he's quite a even free thing. Always stumbling upon, stale imagination of the adults. So... one of these famous examples in the book is the fact that he drew an elephant eaten by a boa snake. It looks like a hat, so kind of funny. So that's why he had to make two drawings. He made a second drawing with schematics of what the drawing in the first place was, because the adult people, they couldn't understand it in the first place. For him, it was obvious that it was an elephant being eaten. Those two images are actually, they are just superposed in a GIF file posting to that. Probably have to read that book in school.
Yeah, I read the book.
French?
Pardon me?
French?
I think I read it in French, yeah.
Often part of French courses.
Yes, because it's simple.
Yeah, it's not so lengthy. Still like a...
Give me 1 sec, I'm just going to reset my...
All right. Let's try that. There?
Yeah, I'm here. I just posted the image of the hole that Saddam Hussein came out.
Right.
The operation was gone.
Do you have the suitcase of the money?
No, I can't find that image. But I know it was part of the storyline that I haven't taken, last resort money. Yeah.
Interesting.
Probably having some fun when they invent all this.
Well, they have their best writers doing them. The best writers, script writers, are doing them, and I think as a bonus, they get to have a hit movie or some kind of promotion that is not available to those that don't comply or go along.
Yeah. I have this feeling that they are meeting the different angles. They're discussing the scripts from the scriptwriters, and they're like, decide on should they go this direction or that direction, what should they target this demographic or not, or...
Yes, yes.
Probably a lot more lengthy than we think. Here's to 11 into play time than we think.
I guess August is a month that is basically shut down. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. So it's really calm here now. I should be in vacation Yeah, it's really calm now. I'm in Paris, so here everybody has packed up their bags and.
So, is there no does no business transact in August in Paris? Get nothing done.
But it's more tourists, you know. So you various people live many regular stores.
Does that mean it's a good time? Is it a good time to come to Paris then in August?
I don't think so, because you really would have to know where to go, and even if it might be closed, because the places that are open now, they are made for tourists. Probably end up at my...
So it's not a good time to go?
No, I think Paris is better in the regular season. You don't go to Paris to go sunbathing or something, you know. You go to Paris to experience the city. It is the second largest population of people. Europe often quite hectic and a lot of good food.
Yeah,
like nouvelle cuisine.
I'm not ignoring you. I'm just hearing every other word. I don't know how to. I have no other ideas to fix my audio at the time, so I'm only getting every third, two out of three words of yours.
Maybe you get the words I get right then.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I don't know how else to repair my system here.
We're on a mobile phone, I would guess.
Yes, yeah.
Or depending on satellites to get a good...
Yeah, no satellites. There's just a lot of people using them now.
Yeah. I do see that the signals are getting better.
Well, maybe they're just increasing capacity. They have to put more frequencies because they're taking away frequencies from traditional broadcast band. Since no one's looking at traditional broadcast anymore, they take them away from them and give them to cellular, because everything goes through the cellular networks now.
It also has to do with electricity, so it's like the smaller the waves, the easier it is to going up in hertz here, so easier to spread more information. Fortunately, it's probably not better for health. So
I really do not know what the truth is about electromagnetic waves. I know that our heart operates on electric pulses, so anything that can get between our brain and our heart muscle could be a problem.
I think when you see the different experiments they have done with control, it does have a real influence on what is the...
So you enjoyed the Hoaxbusters call with Chris. I haven't listened to that yet, so I'm going to listen to that now. I'm way behind.
He's one of the best. I mean, it's really, really good. He really gets to talk with somebody that's obviously controlling the message. And Chris's logic is so good and very, very good. It's so blatantly obvious that he's trying to defend the indefensible, that science guy. I mean, it's not science. It's again
science
somehow.
Fiction. Science fiction.
Yes, it is. Well, I mean, science is started with the church. You know, they were the first scientists. So I never stopped to be a religion.
Yeah.
That's a great call. I really there's some interesting stuff with Gnostic Media Radio too. John Irvin is radio now.
Sorry, say that again. You broke up totally here.
Gnostic Media Radio, they are starting a show with Jan Irvin, and it's also quite you talk about music and how they actually music part of their arms again somehow. Musicologists called Hans Utter that are really worth
it. Yeah, I didn't get enough of that, I'm sorry. All I heard is Gnostic Media starting up some music show.
Hans Utter. I'll post a link chat.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I really good idea to schedule and have some times up so people can join that in a more regular fashion.
Yeah,
I sure appreciate the initiative.
Yeah, it's a smart idea. Well, you can see that I'm usually available between 5 and 8, but I'm not sure I'm not sure what's the best system, so I'm going to use Need to Meet for a while. I'll keep playing with that. And then I suppose you'll get some kind of email.
I like the fact that it's quite automated. You don't have to check like your spreadsheet, you know, like an app.
Yeah. Yeah, well, need to meet, you can put on your phone too, I think, if you wanted to.
Yes. I think it's really quite easy, so that's the thing that we need. But using
Well, the chat at chat.fakeologist.com, you could just monitor that too. I put a link in there all the time when I'm around. I just quickly, spontaneously. Yeah.
Great, because then the people get in touch at that time.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's most people they like to know that there is somebody there, or to not feel alone in the.
Yeah. Well, I don't have much research to offer. I just like talking to people about all this stuff and see what they have to do, what their opinion. I know pretty much what most people's opinion is going to be on the topic, but it's nice to hear some alternate viewpoints about some research, some audios, what audios were worth listening to, which ones you should pass on, that kind of thing. We only have so many hours in the day. I do anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like... thorough research, it's dangerous, because then you have to stick your head so deep in one subject, you will miss the overall picture. I think sound logic is the best, and not propaganda.
One question I always have about the people that put out so many audios and videos, and that is, if you're a normal person, where do you get the time to do all these things? Where do you get all the time? I know I don't have any time, really, so I'm glad when people do their own audio chats, because I don't have to do anything. But where do people get the time?
They're professionals.
If you're not being paid, I'd like to know where you get the time. That's my question to them. And how do you feed yourself in between?
Yeah, what they are actually ending up with in form of donations.
The donations can't add up to much.
But I thought when before they Live Aid and all help the children, help the AIDS. I think they get some money from it, though.
Well, I just don't know what all these... The No Agenda show, you think that money that they announce is real?
I don't follow No Agenda show. Can't say, but internet makes it possible to reach out to so many people. So if the show would have millions of listeners, possible, who knows what the revenue stream even donate $5 or $10, you know? I don't know. I cannot say, but the fact that the numbers are getting bigger, that it's probably the numbers that are doing it.
Yeah.
Also, with some kind of ad systems, with the click, that stuff, probably will generate. Of course, if you're doing it really professionally.
Yeah. Have you talked to Jan Erik lately? I'm just wondering if he's disappeared.
No, I haven't talked to him lately. Just it changed some last months.
I think Unreal. I think your microphone is cutting out. I think you got to raise your threshold or lower your threshold. I notice your light keeps going out.
Oh, okay. So you hear it better now?
Yeah. When you're talking, if your light goes out, then it's not going through. That's what I like about TeamSpeak. You can see when it's picking up your voice.
Yeah, because I have this that it should pick up my voice to let it activate the microphone.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, now it's coming through. I thought it was my end, but I should have blamed you first.
Good thing I was the first one out.
Yeah, you. Yeah, damn.
I didn't get any blame. I get away with it.
I know. I forget exactly how to work these technologies, but I realize now that that means everyone missed what you said, which is a pity. Because sometimes I can't hear, but the server picks it up. So I think we're SOL on your conversation today. But oh well. Oh
yeah.
Well.
It's also a lot of small talk, so it's the enjoyment is also to be here together on the TeamSpeak. So I hope. Other fakeologist picks it up and looks into the time schedule.
Yeah. And I put schedule.fakeologist.com where people can drop links of programs of their calendars or schedules or what have you that they want to share. People should make use of that. I'm just pulling up to my driveway now. I helped record the John Adams show today because Chris disappeared. or he missed the schedule, so I have to save that and just shoot it to Chris. Or John interviewed some guy who has a book on Freemasonry and of the past, and it was a pretty interesting interview from what I could listen to. So I got to
put
give
it online. I'll listen to it. I really like the direction John Adams and Chris Kennell is taking with their show. It's great.
Oh yeah, these guys are doing good work. Thankfully, I know Chris doesn't have to go out and earn a living, so he has more time. So that's good. That's good that we can that he's making good use of his time looking into this stuff. So I'm also trying to get Linux working on my machine. It's not that easy. I'm just fooling around doing that, so people don't hear from me. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Linux Mint. Anyone has any experience with Linux Mint besides O'Hallahan who is using it, please drop me a line. I'm trying to get some of the Windows programs to make sure they work on Linux Mint before I switch over.
You probably have several computers, so I think it's a good thing to have several systems so you can switch from time to time.
No, you're right. You're right, actually. I do have several computers. I have a lot of old computers. And
so anyway, always, you will never get all the programs with only one operation system. You know, you need to have like some programs are better on Windows and some on Unix and some on the Mac, unfortunately.
Well, I'm not going to buy an Apple.
Well, you can install it on
a
PC.
Old, you're right.
I installed that on a PC a couple of years ago, and it worked really well.
I think you're right about I think you're right about that. I'm going to do that. Just leave one thing and because a lot of things are old programs and they don't get updated. Can't use them on newer systems.
Some of the best programs, they are not even made today. Some of them are good that was made before also. So.
All right, well, I'm going to sign off. Well, thank you very much for the chat, and I'm going to upload this. Going to try and upload this call.
Oh. Okay, see you in your schedules.
All right. Well, signing off, Unreal. Have a good night.
You too.
Take care.
Hi, I'm Twitter at Mark Manuel. And I recommend that you check out fakeologist.com.